This is the South Washington County Bulletin Podcast for October 10, 2008, and I'm Managing Editor Patricia Dre Bussey. We have a special edition of the podcast this week. On Wednesday, all five of the Cottage Grove City Council candidates gathered at the Bulletin office. Reporter John Avis and I asked the candidates questions, some of which were submitted by members of the public. We didn't give the candidates time limits, but we asked that they keep their answers as short as possible. Here's the discussion.
There has been lots of talk about a community center in Cottage Grove, but no real action. Where do you stand on the issue, and if you're in favor, can the city afford it? Derek Lehrke, would you like to start?
Sure. Well, the community center is obviously something that is important to me. And something that I would like to see happen. I do think that kids in the area need stuff to do, as far as adults need activities in the Cottage Grove area. My only concern with the community center is what it's going to look like, and by that I mean what amenities will be there and how much it will cost. I would be in favor of trying to find some creative ways to finance it and not just see the city foot the whole bill. Just being where we're at in today's economic place, I don't know that the city could afford, you know, a $20 million project.
Okay. Chris Reese?
Well, as I've said before, I'm in favor of a community center, and, you know, the 12 years I've lived here, we've talked about it, but no one's ever defined what it's going to look like, what the amenities would be, how much it would cost, and I think it's time we at least start that kind of process to talk about it, give people an understanding, this is what we're going to look at, this is what we think it should look like from based on viewing other community centers in the area, and then also get input from partners, from the Athletic Association, from the school district, and from various other entities, find out, you know, what do they see from the senior, you know, from the senior center as well. So find out, put a plan together, which is going to take a little time, and by the time we're moving through harder economic times, we'll be able to have something that we can take to people and say, this is what we think it looks like, this is what we are going to present to you, offer it up for a referendum. If they like it, then we can work with our partners again to talk about the financing and move forward from that point. But it shouldn't be just a city, it should be a collaborative effort, because it's going to benefit a lot of people if we have one.
Justin Olson.
Thanks for the question. I absolutely am in favor of the community center idea, similar to what you've heard already from Derek and Chris. You know, clearly the main concern for people is going to be financing, which is why I propose that it be a public and private partnership in some way, shape, or form. Excuse me. I certainly have my own vision for what a community center should look like based on my experiences with other communities that do have community centers, but I do believe that the best approach is one of collaboration with the school district, senior center, athletic association, et cetera, to try to get a real feel for what the community determines it needs as opposed to what would be nice to have. At that point, once we have a vision that everyone shares in, we can put something on paper, you know, bring it out to the community for their review, get additional feedback and make necessary changes, and then move forward with a referendum to determine whether or not the citizens actually want what it is that we've proposed. If the answer to that is no, then the issue dies. If the answer is yes, we move forward with financing options, but clearly a private or public partnership would create an opportunity to decrease the overall cost of the building and probably the ongoing upkeep for the building.
Jen Peterson?
I agree with the three that have spoken so far about the idea that it needs to be a joint idea with public and private organizations working together with the city. I know there's a lot of money out there with foundations and grants and things that are available that would support this type of program. And then along with the community partners, like the others have mentioned, the school district, the seniors, senior groups, places of faith, business partnerships, and also just with individuals contributing what they can contribute. So I think there's a lot of potential to have this done without it being a huge expense to the city, or even a very large expense at all to the city or the taxpayers. I personally don't have a problem with contributing with my taxes to support a community center that would you know, bring the needed recreation, gathering spots for the kids and for the seniors, and you know, some sort of rental facility that could be rented out for business functions, expos, senior group functions, or weddings or receptions. So it would also need to have something that is self-supporting in it. That would help maintain and run the program itself. And I think this would also give the seniors, you know, the baby boomers, who are looking for things to do during the day, an opportunity to have some volunteering opportunities here in the community. And also that would be very beneficial to the kids in the community. So, yeah, I definitely think it's worthwhile.
And Tom DePell.
Right now, I'm opposed to a community center because I believe in the economic times that we're in right now. It's not something that we can add on in any way, shape, or form, whether that be through city funds, taxes, or to maintain a building as well. I think that would put more stress on the city. And right now, I don't think that we need to be adding anything to project base in this city because the economic outlook is fairly bleak for property taxes because housing values continue to decline. So in that regard, I don't think right now is a good time for government, even at the local level, to be expanding in this sort of economy.
Now, for just to clarify, some of you mentioned this, some of you didn't, but for those of you that support the community center, would you move ahead with this without a voter referendum? Would the voters have to okay this before it goes forward? We'll just go yes or no quick, or can you elaborate? Derek?
In this situation, I would agree with the referendum. I don't like referendums usually in general, just because I think you're kind of passing the buck. The citizens elect you to make decisions, so just when there's a tough issue, always saying, well, we'll just make a referendum. I think city council is elected for a reason. They should make the decision. But in this specific one, I would agree with a referendum.
Okay. Chris Reeves?
Yeah, I agree with the referendum specifically because a big project like this is going to have a significant impact, and it needs, we've talked about it for so long, I think we need to at least give the input. You know, we hold up open houses when we do large development areas like we did with the East Ravine. There's no reason why we shouldn't do that first, but also put it up for a referendum to make sure that we're giving them what they're all looking for. If we give them a design that they're not looking for, then we should be told, and then we can go back to the drawing board.
Justin Olson?
Absolutely. A referendum is going to be necessary to gain the commitment of enough citizens in the community to push the project forward. You know, the citizens deserve to have a voice in a project this large.
Okay. And Jen Peterson?
I would completely support the community center idea going on a referendum. I very much believe in the importance of people having the ability to speak up and speak out on issues they care about, and being able to vote on the community center through referendum would really be the only way I would support it.
Okay. Next question from John Avis.
Along these lines, do you think we need to have a public referendum for every project over a certain dollar amount, something like the ice arena, for example? Start with Chris. Right there.
Chris.
No, I don't. But I think that the impact that this one, for a community center, the impact that this one is going to have, the amount of input, at least is how I see it, that we're going to be seeking, not just from citizens, but from different entities in trying to create something like this, because the impact is going to be so great, I think that's why we need one for a community center. For other things where we're, you know, having large expenses, you know, along Jamaica, out along 70th and Jamaica, we put in a sewer, which was over $1 million. Do we have to do a referendum for that? No. I think it depends on the project. This one definitely has a much larger impact to the greater community, and therefore I think we do on this.
Justin Olson.
It's dangerous, in my opinion, to apply the always or never rule. Always a referendum if X, or never a referendum if Y. I think you need to go project by project. You also need to look at state statute for, what is a referendum requirement. But in the case of a community center, clearly, as Chris stated very well, you're going to have a lot of folks sitting at the table to try to determine the best approach. So a referendum is going to be necessary in order to gain the commitment and buy-in of the rest of the citizens. One would hope that after an exhaustive process up front, that referendum would be a formality that would lead to approval, but you can never say that, always or never. So it's certainly worthwhile putting it out there.
Jen Peterson?
As to whether every big project needs to have a referendum or not, no, I don't think that that would be appropriate. Like some of the others have said, we would have been elected to do a job, and in that process, I intend on doing a lot of listening to the people that come to talk to me about the issues they care about. So I would hope that I would be able to represent the majority of the people that talk to me. Of course, I can't please everybody all the time, but I would hope I would do a fair job of representing people and therefore making their voice heard that way. So, no, not every item, big project, needs to be done on a referendum.
Okay.
The ones that I think would be more of a special interest would need to be.
Okay. Tom DeBell?
I would agree that if it's going to affect the community at large in a large way, that the people should have a say in that. If it has to do with infrastructure and a large project that isn't necessarily going to affect a large amount of the population, then I don't believe a referendum is necessary. But if it is going to affect a large group of people, I do think that it's a good idea to hear the voice of the community.
John, if I might follow up for just a moment.
Yeah, we can go.
Oh, I'm sorry, Derek, you go ahead. I'll wait.
Well, what I was going to say, as I said previously, I don't think a referendum should be used in every situation. And the one reason I do like it in the community center situation is because we do have the potential that it may run a deficit. So we're not just out the money this year or whatever that we have set up for the loans, but it's something that we're going to be paying for long into the future.
All right. Sorry about that, Derek. I didn't mean to step on your time there. One of the challenges with referendums, of course, is that it's a vote. And when you ask people to come out to vote, that costs money. And it's challenging, of course, to get everybody involved as well on a special project. So oftentimes you'll see off-year referendums and the voter turnout will be extremely small. It's critical in any kind of a referendum situation, in my belief, to get as much participation as possible, which is why I think the legwork up front is so important. But, I don't think you want to do a referendum on an always basis simply because of the fact that you're going to spend an awful lot of taxpayer dollars for votes that are going to result in very little actual community involvement, and the voice of the community at large won't necessarily be heard as well as it might otherwise be.
All right. Any other responses? All right. We'll move on. Next question, how will you attract new businesses to Cottage Grove, and what kind of businesses would you like to see come to town? First, Justin Olson.
Wonderful question. This is one of the main topics that I hear from citizens as I go door to door and talk to different groups of people. In case you weren't aware, my background is in retail business, but I've also worked in a corporate entity as a manager of support services for a number of years for a large convenience store chain, Holiday Station Stores. It's my belief that you don't have to look at what kind of businesses we're going to attract in a segment like retail only or industrial only. You can do both. That's why we have an EDA. That's why we have a city council and a mayor. Now, clearly, marketing the community is going to be something that needs to be a priority. The question is, how does one do that more effectively than we've done in the past? Well, in the past, it's my understanding, we've done very little in terms of outreach to developers other than perhaps some local developers. Now, we can certainly do a better job of outreach on a national level if we simply take some of our EDA folks or council members or other business leaders in the community from the chamber and incorporate them into the process. There are a number of conventions around the country that go on month after month. ICSC is one with which I'm extremely familiar, and they have four big events annually in the United States where communities can go and they can interact with developers, franchisees, and other business owners to try to sell their community to those folks and actually get them involved in bringing additional business to that community. We need to do a better job of that. We need to be more proactive. We need to get out there and tell that great story that Cottage Grove has to tell and share with developers and other business owners, not just necessarily local, but actually on a national level, what we have to offer.
Okay. Jen Peterson?
Will you repeat the question one more time?
Sure.
How will you attract new business to Cottage Grove, and what kind of businesses would you like to see come to town?
I can name a few businesses I'd love to see come to town. Something along the lines of a Dick's Sporting Goods, a bookstore, a movie theater, a water park. Kind of thinking of the things that my kids enjoy going to. But as far as where I see the pressing need and where priority needs to be given is definitely in the area of businesses that would offer living wage jobs. And I think that's very crucial right now with the economy the way it is, and also the fact that we're not having as many people being able to afford to go to college to get that college degree to get into a higher paying job. So my focus would be to work with businesses giving living wage jobs and good benefits. How I would work on attracting those is similar to what Justin was saying, you know, talking about being more assertive and going out and seeking out developers rather than waiting and seeing who comes to us and who likes what plot of land and who likes what area of land and you know, advertising and going out and talking about the areas that we have that are available for development, and also really talking closely with the developers to find out if there's something different they need from us, something that the city can do for them to accommodate their business. But then also, you know, really, I would also really focus on businesses that have a good community spirit in mind as far as giving back to the community as well. So that's where my focus would be.
Great. Tom DePell?
My focus on businesses would be all kinds of businesses. I believe that this city should focus on attracting through lower taxes, lower burden on the companies. And I think if you create a good business environment, that alone will attract businesses. And you can work through different organizations. And coming from a small business background, working for my parents and having a part in running a small business for about 8 years now. Their business has been going for about 30 years, and having that firsthand knowledge of how people see the city and their interactions with business, it's good to take the burdens off of the business and to not lay a heavy tax burden. If they do improve their property, which causes the value to go up, that doesn't necessarily mean you reassess them and charge them more taxes because you made the property look nice. If a developer comes in and has an upscale development, it doesn't necessarily mean that you tax them through the roof either. We need to keep it on a flat plane and keep it attractive through minimal infractions and infringing on their property rights and business rights and people with rights under the Constitution to be able to prosper rather than be under the heavy burden of government and ordinances every single step of the way.
Okay. Derek Lerke.
A couple people have spoke about going out and attracting businesses. I think we need to do that. That's important. But once we have their attention, the things that they're going to look at, it's been already touched on, is the tax base. We need to be attractive to businesses to want to be in Cottage Grove. Some of that has to do with the tax base and having to be able for them to be able to make a profit, and in turn, then the city, it benefits us all as well. And we also need to be business friendly. Cottage Grove has, for some reason or another, we don't really know, and I don't plan on looking back into the past, but we've come up with a name that we're not business friendly, and I think we need to work on that and make sure that going forward we are working with the developers and working with the businesses.
Chris Reese.
Well, we've got two developers right now who are interested in building in two areas, and we're making it extremely difficult for them. So it's not that we have had trouble, which we have, but first step is to make it easier. We've got one developer who wants to put in a big development in the Cottage View area, another one who has brought almost a master plan to us in the Langdon area, and we have made it as hard as we can for that to go through. Secondly, to be proactive, go out, find those businesses that really want to come here. We've got a lot to offer. We're going to have a lot more to offer. As we went through the comprehensive task force, we expanded the opportunities for business, not just to those two areas and the industrial area, but along 61, turning that into a business corridor, showing them what we have to offer. We've got a golf course right across the street from where we can put a corporate office area. So it's going to be out actually doing the footwork and getting out and doing that. And finally, again, just really getting back to putting things in place to be friendly, and being available, answering the questions, talking to them, and saying, we're here to help you. Now, that doesn't mean we hand over the keys. We have to be responsible for our citizens, but we do have to look out for the best interests of both sides if we're going to have anything that's going to develop. And this isn't to say that one has to do worse than the other. If you look at the people that have wanted to come into the industrial area and have said no thanks, the one reason why is because we don't have the retail to support their workforce when they want to be out there. So this can work hand in hand, where we can have retail, industrial come in. It would bring jobs from high school students all the way on up.
Does anyone want to respond to anything that's been said? Justin?
Yes, I'd like to just respond briefly on the whole idea of lower taxes for the businesses in the community. I guess I'm curious, from Tom's perspective and maybe Derek's perspective as well, since you both mentioned lower taxes, what is the current tax rate on the businesses in the community, and how much do you want it to be lowered?
I can respond to that.
Tom DePaul?
Currently, the tax rate, I'm not exactly sure what the tax rate is, but my position would be to build the tax base through lower taxes. You can't say, let's have a business come in here and we're going to charge you a whole bunch of taxes. You need to first make it attractive, and through doing that, maybe you need to make some sacrifices in the budget that you already have. And if you do make those sacrifices, then you're going to make it more attractive. Then you can build your tax base up from there. But like I said, you just need to make it a good environment for businesses to come in. I know that from a small business perspective. So, whatever the tax rate is, it is basically irrelevant to me, because it doesn't look like Cottage Grove, has a very attractive situation going on here with the development that we have. So I would simply say it needs to be lower than it is right now to attract more businesses.
Anyone else? All right.
All right, the next question. Chris mentioned the Majestic Ballroom site. The developer was interested in the Majestic Ballroom site for a Gold's Gym. The council opted against moving up the timetable for development, preventing that development from occurring in the near future. I'm curious how each of you would have voted on that. I think we start with Jen Peterson this time.
I was actually on the Comprehensive Plan Steering Committee.
So I was part of all that discussion for the year. And I hated to see the turnout of the vote. I would have liked to have seen Gold's Gym be able to come in sooner than later. It's not a pleasant vacant site over there where all that open property is or where the Majestic is. Sitting there, prime location, but no businesses there. I would have liked to have seen that moved up into earlier staging, developmental stage for developing sooner than later. I understand that, you know, there's definitely some water issues over there that we're gonna have to be worked around, and I understand there would have needed to be some work done on the master plan. But I think that's something that could have been done within a realistic time frame to not prevent Gold's Gym from coming in sooner than later.
Tom DePell.
I think that we should have made it as easy and as expedited as possible for Gold's Gym to come in, and I think that represents illustration of how Cottage Grove hasn't made it easy for businesses to come in and has stunted the growth of the city and stunted the growth of the tax base and been too indecisive and too nitpicky about those sorts of things. I think if you want a city to grow, you need to be aggressive in that plan. And you can't stumble and you can't falter. You need to be wise about the policies and about what you're allowing, but at the same time, you need to keep the process moving. At this time, it's stalled out way too much.
Derek Larkey?
I would be in favor of the Gold's Gym coming in. I spoke to a friend that's on the Planning Commission, and my understanding is the Planning Commission did want it to move forward, and I've even taken steps to contact the developer directly to let him know where I stand and ask that he reserve the right that to still maybe move forward with that situation with a new council and a new mayor.
Chris Rees?
Well, let me correct you. The developer still is interested. I was befuddled by how that turned out. The Planning Commission, along with members from the other commissions, led the comprehensive task force. And as the chair of that, when we brought that to a vote, when we brought the comprehensive task force to a vote, we actually invited all the members from the comprehensive task force to come that night and voice opinion. And that night, when the developer came forward and said, "This is what I want to do," it was unanimous from the commission and from the task force members that were there that we should go ahead and do this. The developer offered to bring pipe up for water and sewer to the Majestic, which is now the most luxurious rat home in Cottage Grove. They offered to bring that up, which is their responsibility to pay for infrastructure along with the development. They were fully willing to do that, and for some reason we turned them down. So, you know, as I said, I'm befuddled because the Planning Commission, the Comprehensive Task Force, all were in favor of this. The only discussion that we had was, should it just be the Majestic or should it be the entire area? And for the council to say we should master plan it anyway and then let it sit for 15 years, to me, is irresponsible. If we're going to master plan it, then why don't we work with a developer now? Because if it's going to be a light rail station area, then we should have some control over what it looks like, not wait for the government, not wait for the state to come and tell us what that's going to look like.
Justin Olson?
I would have definitely voted in favor, and as a matter of fact, I did. As a member of the comp plan task force, Chris mentioned the meeting that he chaired, and Jen and I both attended. I actually did step up and said very clearly to anybody that was in the audience as well as to the task force and the Planning Commission that it is extremely rare in my experience of over 15 years working in real estate and development to find a developer who will actually pull their checkbook out of their back pocket and say, I'll pay for the additional expense, whatever it might be, to pull this pipe an additional 40 feet. The only reason that gentleman did that is because he had additional partners that he was unable to reveal at that time that were interested as well. And And, you know, since that vote has come to light, I've gained some insight into who some of those partners might be. I've also been over to the Langdon area and talked to the residents and found that a number of them were hopeful that perhaps that development would lead to them being bought out in some way so that they could, you know, move on and, you know, hopefully take a new home and some real estate that had a little better water quality. But unfortunately, the vote didn't go the way that we, sounds like, unanimously hoped it would. You know, to Derek's point, my hope would be that the developer is able to keep his consortium together. Economic downturn since that time scares me a little bit because they may not be able to get the kind of financing they were looking at earlier. My opinion, we missed a great opportunity.
All right. Well, looking at the time, this is probably going to be our last question. So, Cottage Grove's city administrator has predicted that the 2010 budget could be tighter than the 2009 budget. How do you foresee dealing with this? Cuts, raising taxes, and if you say cuts, what specifically would you cut? Tom DePell.
I think that we need to take a really close look at the budget, where money is going. There's a possibility that we need to even cut personnel. I know that's nothing that people like to hear, but I'm going to say it how it is. I don't think this is a time to be raising taxes. I think that would be extremely foolish, seeing how people's pocketbooks are already tight, and it comes down to making tough decisions and tough choices, and those are the ones that nobody wants to make, but it's not a popular thing to say, but there's a chance that we'll need to make more cuts in areas where people feel uncomfortable, but that's just the fact of the matter.
Great. Derek Lerke?
I've spoke with the city administrator, as I'm sure most everyone here has, and he'll be the first one to tell you that the budget is already tight and there's not a lot of fat there to be cut. And now, not to say that that's not true, but I believe that there's always places that a little bit of money can be cut. But I think what we really need to pay attention to, even more important than that, is moving forward, just the projects that we're looking at doing now, doing in the future, creating, is that we're not adding to that burden. So if at a bare minimum we could hold the line where we're at, just because of, you know, the gas prices are up, the food prices are up, home values are falling, and the average person's pocketbook is pinched right now, and I don't know that we can ask or demand from them that we need more money. So we need to take a hard look as a city and see where we can save some money, and, you know, prioritize and be tight with the budget.
Chris Reese?
Well, we do have a tight budget. It's not like we've ever been a lavish city. And I don't believe we need to do cuts. I don't believe we need to raise taxes. I believe we need to live within our means. You know, some of the things that we do have coming forward in the next couple of years for 2010, we'll actually have some TIF money coming available. We can take advantage of that as far as using that for projects that we are currently working on, so we're not stalling. We need to keep moving forward and need to keep, you know, keep our eye on what the future is going to be, but be, you know, have the fiduciary responsibility to our residents that this is our budget, we're going to live within our means. You may not get all the amenities that you want in 2009, 2010, but we can still plan for those for 2011, 2012, 2013 when our budget allows us to do such things.
Okay. Justin Olson?
I'm glad Chris mentioned the TIF because there are two TIF districts that will be coming off the books within the next 3 years. So that will certainly serve as an advantage in terms of the additional tax revenue that the city will be capturing once the TIF districts have been paid off. I do believe that the city's done a nice job over the last 10 years of controlling their tax rate on the citizens. When you look at the city's overall tax rate, and this is not to include any kind of county taxes or anything of that nature, the city has lowered the tax rate year over year, 8 out of the last 10 years, and that is really remarkable in my opinion. The 2 years that it went up, were because local government aid was cut by the state, so you had homestead credit cuts and some of those other things. But, you know, the city has not been typically one that lives beyond its means. I give Ryan and his team a lot of credit for already doing a great job of consolidating personnel. They've eliminated a number of jobs. You know, those folks work real hard, and they've held the line on all kinds of different things. Ryan's really, really good at watching the nickels and dimes. So do I think we need to raise taxes? Absolutely not. And nobody ever wants to be the one to say taxes need to go up. But to Chris's point, living within our means is certainly something that we've proven to be good at over the last 10 years, and I think we can continue to do a good job of that as long as the council is on board and understands the needs that are presented by the different city departments, like, you know, public works, public safety, the things that people expect out of their city government.
Okay. Jen Peterson.
Well, I can say assuredly that there are definitely some areas that I know I would not be at all comfortable cutting. Public safety, for example, that would be one area that I don't feel that we really could make any cuts in. And, you know, that's public safety of the community is one of the most important things that there is. And in my mind, the community center actually fits into that because of the problems that arise out of kids not having constructive activity to do or a place to go. And that's another whole story. But anyways, about taxes, I would not like to see, nobody wants taxes going up. I would not like to see them go up in order to maintain what we have. But I think realistically, you know, I'm paying more for gas, the city's paying more for gas. I'm paying more to heat my house, the city's got to pay more to heat the buildings. And all the other things that I'm paying for that have gone up, I know the city's having to pay for. So I think it's unrealistic to think that taxes aren't going to go up. And I certainly would do everything within my power to keep that at as minuscule amount as possible. But I certainly wouldn't cut public safety. I think there are some areas that might be able to be cut. I was looking at the budget for the next few years last night. And, you know, there's some big projects out there that maybe could be scaled back. Things that have to do with trails, things that have to do with park buildings. As much as I'm for the community center, I also think we could maybe go to a maintenance only on some of these type of things instead of doing more projects or new projects, but just to kind of keep what we have in some areas. But again, like with the community center, I think there's different ways to go about doing that rather than it being just a tax expense for the taxpayers.
Okay. And does anyone want to respond? Derek Larkey?
I just wanted to rebut one thing. We heard a couple weeks ago that taxes have gone down almost every year for the past 10 years. And we just now heard from Justin that taxes have gone down 8 out of 10 years. I have spoke with the city administrator and gotten some numbers together, and we're actually looking at that we have gone up 6 out of the past 10 years. So to me, 6 out of 10 is, you know, pretty much a 50-50. And where the tax rate is from where it was 10 years is actually almost 38% higher than it was 10 years ago. Now, we also need to keep in mind that the amount being taxed has nearly doubled in that 10 years. So it's, you know, I don't think that the city has been cutting taxes, and I just want to make sure that people understand that. Because, like I said, when I'm door knocking, people say, well, taxes have gone down, you know, the last 10 years. Well, just take a look at your tax statements, because that's just not true.
Yield to Justin first.
Okay, so here's the numbers. 1999, the city's tax rate was 29.644%. 2000, it was 27.715. 01, it was 27.402. Then the homestead credit was cut, or LGA. So it went up to 47.517. So there's your one up. 42.077 the next year, so down again. 43.657 the next year, so there's two ups. 05, it was 39.170. 06, 37.925. 07, it was 35.813, and 08, it was 35.189. By my math, that Park High School graduated 1988. That's 8 out of the last 10 years, year over year, the tax rate's gone down. and that comes directly from the finance director at the city.
Okay, Chris Reese.
Well, since I was the one that kind of started this a couple of weeks ago, it's the tax rate. Taxes have gone up because housing rates have gone up significantly over that time. But the tax rates have dropped year over year. That doesn't mean that in 10 years tax rate has dropped from what it was in 98, and that's not what I ever said, but I said it year over year. But going back to the budget, if anybody disputes how tight we are on budget, all I ask them to do is call Craig Woolery and ask him to go see his office space and the space that his officers work in. What we ask our public safety people to do in the office space that they have, on the budget that they have, not many other cities would get by on. And they are making it work, and they're actually doing a very good job. I mean, they're an envy of many places because they go beyond. They're EMTs. They go beyond. But if you want to look at where we are in the budget, then go look at that, and you'll see we're not spending lavishly.
All right. Well, our time for tonight has elapsed. You can learn more about the candidates in the South Washington County Bulletin or on the Election 2008 page of our website at www.swcbulletin.com. Thank you to the candidates, and thanks for listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.